Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists.
Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world.
Hello, and welcome to Rahasia Uncensored once again. Today we're going to have a little bit of a different kind of a show for you. And even calling it a show seems weird. What I'd like to do is, I think a lot of you out there are probably like me. You wonder, what in the hell is really going on? I mean, we're way, who am I? We're way beyond, does aliens exist? We're way beyond so many of the things that our parents and grandparents used to talk about. So, let's go beyond today. I'm just walking around my center here. We opened up the Lotus Center here in Paradise, California after the fire. That was either caused or not caused. There's so many conspiracy stories, you never know what quite to believe. But we opened up this center at 6268 Skyway in Paradise to help the residents. We've been having meetings here, how to rebuild, and meditations. We're going to have open mic, different things like that. Mostly just to give the people here a center. Once again, just have a center, something. And because everything, I don't know if you've really been keeping up with it, but November 8th, Paradise basically burned down to the ground. 14,000 homes. 500 or 600 businesses. This is one of the few business buildings that was left. So we're here now with the Lotus Guide magazine as our office and the center where we can have meditations, things like that. So I'm just walking around here. Actually, I'm by myself right now. So it's a good time to walk around, and I'm just trying to figure out ways to communicate with you. Right now, I mean, whoever it is that might be listening to this and wondering what in the hell is going on this planet, what's really happening. Now, I have to tell you, I've had interviews with everybody from CIA whistleblowers to UFO investigators to people that are channeling interdimensional beings, and it can get a little bit overwhelming is one way to look at it, but it's even past overwhelming because it can take your mind into this place to where you actually shut down. And I think I've eventually got to the place. I remember having dinner with David Icke one night, and I asked him, David, what is the first thing that I need to remember when I'm doing research on anything? And he looks at me, and he says, well, the best thing you can do is to remember this. Everything you've ever been told by your parents, your teachers, your priests, your educators, your politicians, your government, everything. And he emphasized everything. Everything is a lie. He says, if you start there, you might have a chance to eventually pick up a few pieces of truth here and there. He calls them dots. And eventually you have enough dots to connect that makes somewhat of a picture. So let's just look at our world right now. I know nobody likes to think about this, which is strange because it seems like I'm always talking about things that people don't like to hear about. But that's just part of my makeup. And it usually ends up being the most important things too, by the way. Let's look at the population. No one likes to admit this. And everybody says, oh, there's plenty of room for billions of more people on the planet. You could put everybody in a little dot on Texas. Yeah, if you stand them shoulder to shoulder. But what about everything? I mean, eating and shitting and just living. I mean, you can't just compact everybody into these small groups. Now, this brings us to another little off branch of this, and I'm going to try to stay focused here. People look at the fire here in paradise, and they say, well, this was contrived, this was done by directed energy weapons and all that. Maybe. That's totally possible. In the world we live in, you can't discount anything. But let's get real here and look at what is that we can actually put our finger on. Go to the United Nations website. Now, that's an interesting background noise. Go to the United Nations website and pull up Agenda 21. Agenda 21 clearly states that they do not want people living in these areas in not only Northern California, but lots and lots of forested areas. And they have made it clear that by probably 2030 or so, they don't want people living out here except for selected individuals. And once again, you have to pull yourself away from this and look at it objectively. Because let's be honest here. If you and I had a magic wand and could make this world a better place simply by waving it, we would wave it and probably clear people out of these forested areas. People shouldn't be living here, the reality, because it's detrimental to the ecology, to the environment. It's dangerous when there's fires, and it just goes on and on and on. What Agenda 21 is about is moving us into these compacted areas. And yeah, we could live in compacted areas, but what next? Once they get us under that kind of control, what happens next? And this is a slippery slope. You know, we can see this with our president right now, Donald Trump. Whether you love him or hate him or just think he's a clown or a fool or a business genius, it doesn't matter. Some of the rules he's making, if he's a really, really, really good guy, okay, maybe we can make this work. But the trouble is those rules stay in place for future presidents, future world leaders. And this is when we could get in real trouble, because some of these rules could really be abused in a dictatorship. I know I'm all over the map right now, and I think that's the way it almost has to be, because we have to sort of glance lightly against some of these things, because if you go into depth, you can go for hours, years of research into this stuff, and you finally get to a point to where it doesn't make any sense. And which a little bit later I'll get into that, why it doesn't make any sense, by the way. There's a reason for that. But let's pick out something else. Let's think of something else that people don't like to listen about. But it's just one of the things that I think we need to really, really talk about. And it's called sex slavery, sex trafficking, human trafficking. Call it what you may, these are little kids that we are shuffling all around the world for sex, anywhere from 9, 10, 11 years old on up. This is so, I'm not even too sure if we have a word for that right now, horrendous, immoral, but those words really don't cover it. We're living in a sick, sick society, and you can look at society and realize how sick it is if you boil it down to one person or one family living in one house. What if one person in the house was sexually molesting and raping his little kids, his daughters and sons, and the neighbor's daughters and sons? We would go immediately and arrest him. I know it's starting to happen now with Jeffrey Epstein. I've been saying that there's no way they're going to let this guy go to court and plea bar. The only way he could have got out of his charges is with money. Okay, we found out he doesn't have as much money as he said he had. Plus, we're taking away whatever he did have. And the only other way would be by naming names. There's no way, no way that the establishment, the system is going to let him start naming names, because the very system is the names that they would start naming. So yeah, he committed suicide, just like a few hundred alternative health practitioners have committed suicide. You know, we all know that all the alphabet companies, the CIA, NSA, all these people, they have ways to make you have a heart attack or fast progressive cancers. And one of their most popular ways to kill you is to hang you by a doorknob in a motel. I mean, come on. It's a signature. And so many people really just don't get what's going on. Somehow we have let the crazies take over the institution. They're out there right now in full force. They're just having a hell of a time because they are in control. And we've let them come in control by our apathy. We are just, look at, oh my God. I mean, I hear millennials right now, and some of the millennials are really proactive and they're really doing a good thing, but they are so sensitive. I mean, I get in trouble for using the wrong pronoun now. No, you can't call him a him anymore because he's socially defined as a her. And I'm supposed to apologize, but I don't. But I'm supposed to apologize for this because I'm being insensitive or immoral somehow. And I'm supposed to change my whole life, my whole way of seeing the world, because this person is socially defining himself or herself as the opposite gender. And, you know, tell me about this in 10 years and let's see what they are saying then. And it just, it's one more of the things that we have to really start putting light on. Why should we put light on these things? Well, the simplest explanation I can give you is the Wizard of Oz. If you think back to the Wizard of Oz, they were traveling, going to the Wizard of Oz, and they were all scared, and he was a diabolic, monstrous kind of a thing, and they finally get there. It's funny that a dog pulls back the curtain, but when the curtain is pulled back and they realize he's just an old man pulling levers and keeping them in fear, because once you're in fear, you can be manipulated and controlled. Well, here we are today, and the Wizard of Oz is this old, old man behind the curtain. In our case, he's just an old pedophile doing horrendous, amazingly crazy, crazy things. I know right now you're probably thinking, oh my God, I need to turn this channel to something else, but hang in there, you know? Let's work on this. Let's look at each other and really try to figure this out. Because if we don't, our world is at risk right now. I mean, I have a friend, Dane Wigington. He does the geoengineeringwatch.org website. And him and I have been talking about these, well, we're not supposed to call them chemtrails anymore. That's something that the think tanks, the government think tanks, they've taken over that term, chemtrails, and loaded it up with so much bullshit that it's useless anymore. You have to call it solar radiation reflection programs, and there's a bunch of fancy names for it. But the truth is, what they're doing is they're spraying us with toxic poisons, aluminum oxide and barium and strontium and a wide variety of other things that they're just spraying down on us. And you say to yourself, okay, these people surely, I mean, they wouldn't do this. They're human beings. My God, they're not going to spray other human beings. Well, they are, you know? So get over yourself if you're thinking that somehow we're being controlled, manipulated by human beings. These people are not human. They're totally different than us. I mean, think back to Philip Morris and the cigarette companies and how they push cigarettes, which is basically a nicotine delivery system. They were pushing it on our kids. And at the same time, they weren't giving cigarettes to their kids. There's no way. You know, I recently wrote an article in the Lotus Guide magazine, and it's about hacking the minds of our kids. And what it is, it's about flat screens, basically. You look at the whole idea of flat screens. Well, while they're pushing them, being Silicon Valley, the software designers, Apple, Google, they're pushing flat screens on our kids, iPads, iPhones, Blackberries, computer screens, and everything. They're pushing them like crazy. But at the same time they're doing that, guess what their kids do? Their kids aren't allowed to have any of these devices. Their kids go to Waldorf schools. Their kids are highly, highly protected. And as they're protected, you have to think to yourself, well, if they're protecting their kids, why don't they protect ours? Well, the reason they don't protect our kids is because it's not their kids. Simple as that. These people are treacherous. And if we don't start really coming to grips with the fact of how treacherous they are, we're going to find ourselves in deep, deep trouble. Yeah. The little background noises you're hearing, I'm walking around the center right now, locking a door. And I have this feeling just to talk to you. I do have a few listeners now. And that's another thing, too. In this world, if you have a sphere of influence, people that are listening to you talk, this is a responsibility. It's a big responsibility. And as we move into this realm of wondering who we are, what we are, where we're going, what is our planet, we have to start thinking about our future. And this is strange for me right now because I'm walking around the center. I have nothing in front of me. I am just walking around, letting it sort of channel out of me. I'm going to walk in front of the camera right now and say hello. But as I'm doing this, I'm seeing my mind open up, and I have no agenda. I don't want to convince you of anything. My whole goal here is just to get you to think. And the best way to get somebody to think is to make them realize that everything they've been thinking about is complete lies and deceit. Complete nonsense. I mean, Jesus. Sometimes I get a little bit frustrated with people, you know. Columbus Day. Yeah, we're going to celebrate this guy, Columbus. He was a butcher. He murdered thousands of indigenous people. You know, why would we even think about celebrating this guy? It's because the people that do the conquering, the imperialistic people that win the wars, they're the one that writes the stories and makes the rules and sets all the agendas. And now here we are today, a bunch of followers, blindly following, not really asking too many questions. But I think it's time we start questioning the answers we've been given. Because like I say, if we don't, coming at us like a freight train out of hell. And if we don't recognize this, we're in deep, deep trouble. I mean, look at everything that's happening with our soil. We've lost 40% of our arable soil for farming. We've lost it through monoculture and GMO foods and everything else. We can bring it back. A good documentary is Symphony of the Soil. We can do this. We can bring it back. But we need the political will. We need the personal will. The individuals to start speaking out. And If you look around the world, there's a lot of us right now. It's definitely not just me. It's not just a small group of people. Well, look at what happens in Hong Kong. I mean, hundreds of thousands of Chinese young kids are speaking out because they know that in 2047, if they don't change things and turn things around before that date, Hong Kong completely goes back to mainland China under their rule. Right now, they have a little bit of free speech, but it's tough, you know, because China's already starting to destabilize what they do have right now. And that gets into another discussion, but you can YouTube that on YouTube and see a lot about what's happening there. Okay, what else can we talk about that you don't want to listen to? Let me see, I can think of a lot of things right now. UFOs. I mean, if you're out there right now and you're still wondering if UFOs exist or don't exist, you're probably on the wrong station right now. You should be turning it into Mr. Rogers or something, because you're so far back in time that I don't even have the patience to catch you up. But for those of you that do occasionally look up at the night sky and listen to government officials, pilots, and researchers, and thousands, if not millions, but thousands of people who have seen unidentified flying objects in the sky. I mean, this has to be an accepted fact now. I mean, you have to start from what we know. And we know that we're being visited, our airspace is being infiltrated by something. And this something can go off in different directions. Was it Nazis that learned how to do anti-gravity back in the 40s and they went down to the Antarctic and now they're flying out of the Antarctic? Or is it interdimensional beings? Or is it from people from other planet? Or is it from human beings from the future? Us coming back to try to help us, try to warn us. All of these things are possible, and maybe all of them are true. I don't know, but the point is that we are being visited. I remember I went to the UFO Congress here about 2 or 3 years ago and interviewed a lot of people, Nick Pope and, you know, all of the people you see on the Gaia channel and UFO channels. And I was listening to Jacques Vallée, and Jacques Vallée, he had the same thing to say as, and you can watch these interviews on my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/lotusguide. I also interviewed, this is something that I'm having a senior moment here. But Jacques Vallée, he was saying that at the end of all of his research, of looking at all the facts, looking at all the people, doing all the interviews, talking to all the other researchers, he felt pretty confident that most of these visitors are interdimensional and they don't have our best interest at heart. So, and that's from somebody that has a lot more experience than I do or you do. And that enters into this equation. And now we're getting into the thing that doesn't make any sense. If you take our financial situation, our political situation, our global situation, society, population, everything, it doesn't matter. You can take all of these, the quality of water and air and everything else, and you can study it and study it and study it and break it down and do all the statistics and run all the graphs and see where we're at and where we're going and blah, blah, blah. It can go on and on. There comes a point, I guarantee you, there comes a point, if you're being honest, you're going to say, wait a minute. No, wait. This doesn't make any sense at all. Every single line of inquiry will end with that statement. The only thing that ties all of these things together and semi, not fully, but semi completes that statement, that question, is if you factor in extraterrestrial or interdimensional beings into this equation. Once you do that, it'll take you a little bit further, and it'll actually connect some of these things. You'll see things happen in the government, and you'll see things happen in the financial realm. You go, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense now because I read this or realized this. And you can go back and start connecting these dots. So, I mean, I'm just standing here right now, still walking around the center. This is interesting. I know most of you don't really have the opportunity to take the time to do this, but I've talked to people that do interviews and have podcasts, and it's an interesting situation for all of us to be in, because by the grace of God or the Space King or whoever, whatever it is that caused us to be able to be in this position, we're very fortunate to have the time and space and the technology to do our research and reach out. And speaking of reaching out, I mean, you can visit us on our magazine website, which is www.lotusguide.com, and you can email us at info@lotusguide.com. You can, obviously, you're probably listening to this on BBS Radio, which is bbsradio.com/spiritualactivist. The reason I call it spiritual activist is because I think at the heart of most of the problems we have, it's a spiritual problem. And if we don't take action and be activists, we're not going to make it, folks. You know, I'd like to tell you it's different, but that's not how it goes. Now, there's a reason I'm taking up time right now bringing up all of this seemingly chaos that's happening in our world. So I hope you're bearing with me, because at the end of this, I'm going to tie it all together and make it make a little bit of sense. I can't make it make a whole lot of sense, but I can make it make a little bit of sense. Okay, what else can we talk about? We can talk about Trump. Yeah, everybody likes to talk about Trump. That's the greatest distraction in a long time, ever since Bush. Bush was a pretty good distraction, too. He was so stupid. It's amazing that people like this make it in to be president. Now we have a talk show host. You know, what's next? People ask me, would you vote for Trump? And I said, well, it's according to who's running. I'm thinking that surely, let's face it, I don't know who it is that's listening right now, but whoever you are, you and I could go down to your local town or my local town. I guarantee you, in 1 week, we could find 10 people that would make a better president than Trump. And I just watched the Democratic Convention jargon, whatever you want to call it, where they counter back and forth, which is complete nonsense. How are you going to explain the financial situation in like 45 seconds? It's ridiculous. It's more of a reality show. I was watching that, and there was nobody up there that I would vote for. I'd have to vote for Trump. You know, surely, though, my God, if we can't come up with something better than Trump in the next election, well, we're going to get what we deserve. Because Trump, I think, and I know people tell me, oh, don't talk about Trump. People that love Trump are going to be against you. The people that hate Trump are going to be against you. But, you know, I don't really care. But Trump, he's sort of a demolition guy. And I think he's played an integral part in waking people up to the true insanity and the things that lie just under the realms of most of our consciousness. Surprisingly, it's not racism. It's something else. It's the fear of being able to survive the fear of others, no matter what color they are or what language they speak, you know. But he is the demolition guy. We have a government that is broken, dysfunctional, and it's become globally dangerous. And he came in and has made it even more so, but has brought all of this to light and basically, probably completely unknown to him, he's tearing down the system. He's completely demolishing the system because the first little hiccup we have on this planet, an earthquake, an asteroid, one atomic bomb, anything, an EMP, a solar flare, anything will completely destabilize the American population. We will be devastated. So, if he's the demolition guy, there comes a time when the demolition guy needs to go home, and then we need to start rebuilding. And I think that's what we need in our next election, somebody with vision. So, I promised you I'd get to this point, and I'm going to get to this point where I'm going to frame what I've been saying as far as where we've been, where we are, and where we can go. Think about this. And this is an interesting little thing. I've talked to Bruce Lipton about this several times, and Peter Russell too. He's a good one to listen to. Peter Russell was one of our first interviews, and it was on the global brain. The global brain, if you haven't heard about this, go to YouTube, put in Peter Russell, Global Brain, and watch this. This is an amazing documentary he did back in 1987, I believe, yeah. And what that's about is if you take our reality, our slowed down, solidified reality, and wind it back in time, you'll find that everything was in one place at one time. Now, what caused that, whether it was a Big Bang, a space god, or just natural phenomena, or some kind of mysterious whatever, it seems like at that point, when that very beginning happened, we were more an energetic fluid-like. But as things cooled down, that plasma, that energetic pool solidified into quarks. The quarks went into particles. Particles went into atoms. Atoms went into cells, and cells went into organisms, and organisms, and here we are. And the story behind that is each foundation was the stepping stone of the next foundation. And now here we are as cells, organisms, and we're on this planet as planetary cells. And this is where it gets really interesting if you look at nature. Look at the caterpillar becoming a butterfly. We all know about this story. And I'm going to, thinking seriously about writing a book about this because I need to write a book that I would like to read and nobody else has written. And it seems like nobody else has really done this. But think of a caterpillar. A caterpillar is born into this world and it basically devours its world. It goes around eating and eating and eating until if it was left to be a caterpillar the rest of its existence and kept having caterpillars, it would devour our world. It has no future vision of sustainability. But unbeknownst to that caterpillar, there is something in the very nature, in the very genetics of that caterpillar that sends a signal to it, and it doesn't know why. It finds a place to hang upside down and spin a chrysalis. And within that chrysalis, the caterpillar actually starts breaking down into chaos. Now we know, and Bruce Lipton is really responsible for giving me most of this information. Within that chrysalis, that caterpillar, as it's breaking down, some of those cells are striving and hanging on to being a caterpillar. It really tries to hold the form of the caterpillar, but what it doesn't know is that it's up against something a zillion times more powerful than it is. It has no chance but to completely break down into chaos. And if you'd break open that chrysalis at a certain point, it'd just be a messy, liquidy goop. And you'd think, oh my God, there's nothing living there. There's nothing that could possibly be. It's too chaotic. In that chaos, now they know. And get this too, there's actually some of the cells that commit suicide by imploding. There's a biological term for it that we don't need to go into, but they actually implode, and we see suicides really prevalent in our world. And I'm sure you're getting what I'm getting at right now. We are at the tail end of a caterpillar society. We have chewed up, we have devoured most of our environment, and if we were left to our own devices, we would devour this planet. It's just no doubt about it. It could not last another 100 years, maybe 50, you know, maybe 50. But now here we are in this transition of the tail end of a caterpillar society, and unbeknownst to us, most of us, we are hanging ourselves upside down, and our society is coming apart. It's liquefying. We can see it all over the place. It's turning into chaos. But within that chaos, please, I mean, this is the most important. If you've stayed with me until now, this is the pearl that would make this whole conversation worthwhile. Within that chaos, within that confusion, within that everything that we look out at our world and see and we don't understand, inside that chrysalis, there are something called imaginal cells. And yes, biologists, that's what they call them. Because within the imaginal cells, they have the DNA coding on the pattern of the butterfly. They have this vision of what this chaos can be. And slowly, slowly, all of the other cells that the caterpillar once was starts forming around the imaginal cells and makes the legs, the wings, and the colors, and everything else it takes to be a butterfly. And then the chrysalis breaks open and the butterfly comes out. And for us, it just looks like magic. But inside that chrysalis is where it all happens. And I think that's happening on our planet right now. Imagine this. If you are an imaginal cell within this chaotic chrysalis that we find ourselves in, with the regime, the society breaking down, it's done. It's actually sown the seeds of its own destruction, and which this is a part of. You're probably listening to this on the internet. The government is the one that invented the internet. And the internet is what's coming back to bite the government in its ass. We're all speaking out. We're all waking up. And this is a great tool that we have. So now we're in the chrysalis and we're looking around. And here's what I suggest to you. Start looking to find those imaginal cells, those planetary cells that are imagining and envisioning a new world. They've been popping in and out of our reality, Jesus and Buddha and the different visionaries and seers and saints along the way. We usually kill them, hang them up on a cross and crucify them. But that's the caterpillar people doing that. But now we're at the tail end of the chaos. And it's going to get worse, believe me. It's going to at least seem like it's going to get worse before it gets better. And so be prepared. You know, in the Middle East, they have a saying, believe in Allah, but tie up your camel first. You know, so believe in your God, your space God, or whatever it is you believe in. Your beliefs are okay, but tie up your camel, you know, because we're in for a rough ride here, and it's coming at us, like I say, like a freight train. So if imaginary cells inside of a caterpillar can envision and hold that encoding to be a butterfly, which is, a butterfly is flying in a completely different environment, completely different. There's no way that Caterpillar could possibly envision itself flying. I mean, it's just crawling along the ground, just eating and bumbling along until somebody either steps on it or it hangs itself upside down and spins a chrysalis. There's no way it could envision what it is going to become. And it's debatable whether it's even there when it becomes this. But imagine this. If there's planetary cells, planetary beings that can envision, imagine what they can envision. I mean, if that caterpillar, if the imaginary cells in the caterpillar can envision a butterfly, which is a beautiful little creature, imagine what we as human beings on a much, much higher level of consciousness, imagine what we can envision. We can envision, and this is the thing, because as we're envisioning, we need to keep in mind that I'm going to take a little drink of water here. As we're envisioning, we have to keep this in mind. The pattern of what we can become without any resistance, without anything that we're doing, we are going to go through a transformation on this planet. Like nothing that us as little caterpillar human beings could ever imagine. Left to its own devices, we're probably going to transform into an amazing global society. Unless something comes along and just smashes our chrysalis and we have to start over, which seems like it's happened in the past a few times, quite a few times. Imagine what we can envision as a higher conscious being, because now we know, once again, thanks to people like Bruce Lipton and Greg Braden, we know now that we can change our DNA. We can change it. We can actually alter our DNA with energy, because energy is thoughts. And the thoughts, as we become more and more conscious, we can start creating a world that is unimaginable to most of the caterpillar cells on this planet. I mean, let's face it, okay, let's be brutally honest. You can go to any major city and go into the outskirts of the city, or now it's right downtown cities, and take a look around. These are, and God love them, and I have more empathy and compassion that's probably coming through right now, but these are caterpillar beings. They don't have a chance to transform themselves to a higher level without some help. And that's where people come in that are in this position and that can hear this kind of thing and go beyond themselves and start envisioning, what can we become? We could transform this whole planet into something so amazing. And personally, I think we do have interdimensional beings, extraterrestrial beings. And there's people within the government that are waking up to this. And they realize also, and I'm willing to bet that they're working with some of these beings that are helping us through this time period. Because mark my words, and I very seldom would ever do this or say this, but something is coming. I don't know if it's an asteroid. I don't know if it's a solar flare, a solar mass injection. World War III, I don't know, but I can feel it and sense it. There's something on the horizon that is going to be a marker in time, and it's going to make a big, huge difference on how all of us live, survive, and evolve. And it would pay us to wake up to that extreme possibility. And I think it could be a cosmic happening. I don't think it's necessarily something that maybe we are going to do. I mean, look back in time. Every 25,920 years, 26,000 years, there is something that happens on this planet that is a reset. And not sure what it is. Not sure what that is. But it seems like there is global upheaval. Huge, huge climate changes. And it seems like we're getting close to some kind of epic change right now of biblical proportions, because when you start looking at the world right now, and yes, climate change is real. I mean, I can go outside right now and it's really, really hot. There is something going on, and if you extrapolate that out, it doesn't take a mental genius. As a matter of fact, if you only have two or three brain cells firing, you must be able to see that something is looming on the horizon. But we can change things. Somehow, we know now that if enough people can envision and believe in a future, we can see ourselves into this transition and come out the other side and pull a lot of these stragglers and fence sitters and naysayers along with us. You know, we're not trying to prove ourselves right. We're trying to make this a better world. And the rebirth of a better world is coming. Believe me. Matter of fact, if you believe me, it will happen. If you don't believe me, if enough of you don't believe me, it won't happen. But I think there's a lot of people out there that sees this possibility. And this isn't just based on faith. This is based upon nature and facts. Like I say, you know, nature does works. It lives a life, a caterpillar life, and at a certain point it breaks down. It always does. It dies. But within that death, there's a metamorphosis, a rebirth into something totally magical, totally different, and totally beautiful. And we're there right now. We're there. And we're living in the chaos right now. And as I look out the window here at Paradise, California, I mean, we lost 14,000 homes burned to the ground in a heartbeat. So many people, so much suffering, but it woke a lot of people up here. And it realized, the people here realized the impermanence, the instability, the insecurity of what they thought was secure. It just went up in smoke, literally. And something like that can really wake a person up, and it can wake a community up. And I see a lot of people in the community that I thought would be really strong in a situation like that. They're really wobbling and having a hard time. And other people that I thought would be a disaster, they have found something inside themselves and stepped up, and they're becoming the leaders and the march forward into rebuilding this place. And that's really good to see. I mean, I have so many amazing, amazing friends. I feel really blessed. I mean, I remember my grandpa telling me one time, if you can count your friends on one hand, you're in good shape. Well, shoot, I don't think I could count my friends in 20 hands. I have so many really good friends that I know my hat is off to them. They've lost everything, and here they are. Boy, they're just back doing it again. And but here we are in Paradise, California. So I think my time is running short. I have about 5 more minutes. And if I can just maybe close with a few thoughts. And I really appreciate, if you've stuck with me all this time, that's really great, because I'm sticking with you too. This radio show that I do, my YouTube, we don't make any money at all. It's all nonprofit. And matter of fact, if you feel like donating or giving anything, you can go to lotusguide.com/campfire. And there's a couple of links there that are nonprofits that would help us out here at the center and help out the radio show. And that would be great. because I don't want advertisers. If you get advertisers, there's a strange thing that happens. You start feeling pressure to say certain things and be certain ways. Right now, I can say anything I want. I can not say anything I don't want. And I don't have to put a spin on anything or be careful of people's feelings. It's crazy. And all I can say is, if you're sitting at home wondering what to do and you're waiting to find out what to do, well, you're going to be waiting a long time, because the information doesn't come to you until you get out and you start walking the path. And if you're a millennial sitting around in your pajamas on your mom and dad's couch looking through the internet trying to figure out something to bitch and complain about, you know, come out here and join us. You know, get out of the internet and get out into the world, because there's a whole world out here waiting for you, and it's going to be the world you're going to grow old in, by the way, or not. But you have a chance to be part of this and make this world a better place and develop your consciousness, your mind, because you know what? We're all going to die. And like it or not, we're not going to get out of this alive. And then we'll see what the next step is about. Somebody was asking me the other day, what do you think is the most important period in your life? And I told him, it's the last few seconds of my life that I think is going to be the most important. Because as I'm lying there, if I can be conscious enough and be privileged enough to know that I am dying and lay on my bed, surrounded by a few of my loved ones, you know, I mean, you can't ask for a better ending than that, except for this. If you can be conscious that the next breath you take in, and as you take it in, and as you let it out, you know that that's going to be the last breath you'll ever take. Because if you can be conscious at that moment of transition, that moment of rebirth into the butterfly, into that other reality, maintaining that continuum of consciousness is what I think eternal life is going to be about. Because what is eternal life? I mean, the only thing we can equate it to here is memory, the ability to eternally remember who and what you are. And as we go into that other realm, I'm telling you, that moment is approaching all of us faster than we like to admit, faster than we want to admit. So I think with that, I've pretty much covered it all. Thank you very much for listening. And like I say, come back and visit us. You can visit our YouTube channel at youtube.com/lotusguide. Visit our magazine at www.lotusguide.com. And like I say, if you want to make a donation, it's lotusguide.com/campfire. And, you know, check us out. And check everybody else out, too. There's a lot of good people out there. There's a lot of good blogs. There's a lot of really interesting things going on in your world that can add to your ability to envision and be your own imaginary cell and wake up and come out here with the rest of us. Let's make this world a better place. If we don't do that, then, well, I guess we'll get what we deserve. But I think we can do this. I think we can make our world into a magical, mystical place. Call it the kingdom of heaven, call it nirvana, call it the fifth world, as the Hopis do. We can do this. Imagine that.